let that sink in for a few minutes. He's a good father. Some of you need that. Some of you, your fathers didn't acknowledge you. You may be a little cruel, abusive. The song we just sang said he's a good father. The Jews thought it was heretical to call God their father. He was a being that they never got to know. I often wonder what Israel's history at this point would have been like had they gone up on the mountain with Moses and met God, the Father. Today, I want you to let God be your Father. Not just some mystical spirit in the sky, you need him to be. And he's a good father. If you need examples, the story of the prodigal son. The father never stopped looking. He saw his son, he ran to his son, and he kissed his son, even though his son smelled like hog. And even the Son of God himself, God the Father, spoke out of heaven and said, religion has taught our fathers to be cold, to be uncaring. Well, that's just the harsh times, hogwash. That's what that is. It's an excuse not to be like God. It's time it stops. The Bible says Jesus wept. If Jesus wept, God the Father wept. He said, what you see me do is what my Father does. And when he said that the Father ran to kiss his son, he didn't hold his sins against him anymore. Some of you need to know your Father is proud of you. You don't have to try and impress anybody else anymore. Others, you need to know that God's not waiting to hit you with a stick. He's waiting to hug you and to fall upon your neck and kiss you. And to welcome you back into his family. You can't run far enough. I've tried. You need to let God do that. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful that we can call you our Father, that we can be your sons and daughters. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, I know for many it looks initially as it's a sacrifice. Father, I can stand here as testament that if we will make that sacrifice, you are faithful and true to your word. That you will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, that men will give into our bosoms, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We will not have room to receive it. I bless it now today, Father. I thank you. I receive it on your behalf. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name. kids in Genesis are dismissed. Super kids. Carter got to bless me the other day. He filled his shorts while I was doing it. Let me tell you what, he takes after his mother. It stunk. Okay, so he took after his father. And I actually meant to say his grandmother. I was not trying to slam his mother, I was trying to slam that. Yeah, maybe I should just stick to preaching, shouldn't I? Oh, praise God. But God is good. I've been thinking about that, you know, I get to think about a lot of things. Like the other day when I told Angela, I said, you know, I was thinking, what would Israel's future have been had they not rejected God on the mountain? We don't know, but I want to tell you something. God had made preparation for both ways. Had they rejected him, and had they gone up to meet him? I so wish they had gone to meet him. But they didn't. And so, oh well, ain't nothing we can do about it. Some people don't know that God is good. Well, because all they see in the Bible, all they focus on, is judgment. They never understand that the truth of it is God lets us make decisions. If I put a ladder up here and I tell you don't climb the ladder and jump off, you could get hurt. And you climb the ladder and jump off and get hurt, who's at fault? You are. Who's getting the blame? I am. Because I had the ladder. That's just kind of the way it goes. It's really stupid, especially in this world. Hey, your coffee's hot. By the way, I learned a little something about that case. Did y'all know that the woman that got that old deal from McDonald's?
Yeah.
That was a Camaro, an 80s model Camaro with a flat dashboard. She was not driving. She was a passenger in the car, set the coffee on the dashboard, and her grandson was driving. She wasn't even holding on to the coffee. Does it take a rocket scientist to figure out to hold on to a cup of hot coffee? I don't care if it was really, really hot or mildly hot. It's going to scald. But, you know, that has nothing to do with today's message. Just a little fact that my boys every year they go through a class at school and they come back and they start telling me about this. I'm like, okay, makes a little more sense. But one of the things I've been thinking about is God's name. What is sticking out? I'm not good at sign language, folks. I'm really not. My wife and Dick, after 28 years, would realize I'm awful at sign language. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Okay. I will not say OMG. I just won't say it because it just actually kind of strikes me wrong. Okay. But just so you know, God's name is not God. How many of y'all knew that? We call him Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah is actually not a Hebrew word. William Tinsdale had it. Yahweh is about as close to what they call God in the Judaic tradition. But there was something else. There's something that would not let me go on that. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. In vain means that that God's name does something. Not just say OMG or GD. Because to be honest with you, the second one is actually a command. If you know anything about words, the word damn means curse. Damnation is cursed. So when anybody says that, I'm like, are you brain dead? You're telling God to work against you on this thing. That's why it's not going right. You can ask anybody. I ask God, God, help me get this. Break this bolt. Help me. I can't tell you how many times I've lost tiny little screws in leaves. I'm like, God, they don't make this screw anymore. Please help me find it. I'm in the bushes, and I got to find this thing. There's pine needles, little needles and leaves and everything everywhere. And I'm going to tell you, folks, within 60 seconds, I found it. God led me to it because I dared ask him. Okay? That's not in vain. I used his name. I addressed him. God as I know him. Okay, just so you know where we're going to go today, I hope you hold on. Because, boy, when I started getting more and more about understanding what God said to Moses, we're in for a ride, a fun ride. So turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to actually go to verse 13. It says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Now, here's a little tidbit. The word am is a present tense singular verb. It means to be. I to be what I to be. Is what he said. But the problem is, Hebrew has no word for am. There is no word for that. What did God say? I have read, I can tell you how many different arguments on what this phrase means. I can identify the word I am in Hebrew just by looking at it now, because it just appeared so many times in these articles that I was reading about this. And people argue and argue, but none of them came to a valid point of anything other than trying to say that maybe Yahweh. But the truth of the matter is, folks, I believe even Yahweh is not God's name. It's because of these words. He said, tell them I am has sent you. Now, in our language, we would actually, since am means to be, I am to be what I am to be. I am a good father. I am the great deliverer. I am your deliverer, your redeemer. I am your healer. I am your provider. We can throw Jehovah and Yahweh all day long, can't we? The Jews are actually they try to be so careful not to take the name of God in vain that in Judaic text, when they write it, or they will not write the consonants. So it is, or the vowels, sorry, they write the consonants. Yod, He, Vav, He. That's what they say. Because it's a legal way around saying the name of God. See, they're very legalistic. They don't honor God. They honor legalism. Just like we do today. We're so much more caught up in being legalistic instead of understanding God's mercy and his love for everybody, no matter what walk of life you come from. My ancestors worshiped sticks. And guys with hammers. Maybe that's why I was a carpenter, so. But another way they got around it was the word name is the word Shem. And so when they would say the name of God, they would just say the name, which is Hashem. They never spoke the name of God because they really don't know it either. Oh, Pastor, these are what we call him. God said, he asked him, who shall I say sent me? He said, my name is I Am. What is I Am? It meant the same thing then. If you were to be, say, today, if you were to say, I am to be a book, it would read, I look, I rock, I clean, I walk, I build. That's what you are right then. God is showing us that he is everything to us. He was going to be our provider. He showed Israel. That's why he took them out in the desert. You know, it was a 3-day trip turned into over 40 years. 40 years. And every step, God said, I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am everything you will ever need to be. That's what God said. That's who God took to them. Because I read on further up in chapter 4 of Exodus. See, when he took them to the elders, he never did tell them, like, in our writing, that I am has sent me and what took place. I would figure, you know, people would just, they fall to their faces, and we don't know what took place. We don't know what happened. But what we do know is some of them said, okay, because they understood. This would have been the elders. These would have been the older ones. But for us to take the name of God in vain, when you say OMG, well, yeah, you are actually, because of our vocabulary, our language, you are just misusing the name of God. Just knock it off. That's all there is to it. Just stop it. Well, what should I say? Well, find something else. Our language is unlike Hebrew. Our language is unlike the Greek or anything else. Our language, especially American English, is a Heinz 57 of words. And today it is even worse, because now it is commonplace for acronyms to be used every day in everyday language. Oh, LOL. Oh. That's text language. But yet it is now spoken language. Or all. I still say roll on the floor laughing. I mean, I'm still catching up to some of this stuff. You know, I came from 4 years of knowing acronyms, but an MRE was pretty easy to figure out. I meant my meal that was ready to eat. A Humvee. A Cuckvee. All these different acronyms that I knew, well, they're not used there hardly anymore, because Humvees are on their way up, Cuckvees are gone. So my acronyms are done away with. There's a whole new series. So we brought these into our language. So we see that God, the only thing God said was, I am has sent you. He was letting Moses and Israel know, I will be your provider. I will be what you need me to be. So that's why I asked you this morning, we sang that song. And by the way, some of you, it really hit. Do you need a father? Maybe, like I said, there are dads and there's reasons why they are the way they are, but it does not make an excuse for us to react to be what we've been. We can change. As a matter of fact, we must change. That's all there is to it. I know my dad is different than his dad, and I'm going to be different than my dad because my dad wasn't able to get rid of everything that he carried back. Many of you have a very similar family lineage. And some of you, Your families were real close, loving. From as far back as I can look at, my family has been deceptive and talked about each other, backstabbers, you name it. And there's some in my family still carrying that tradition on. But I told my family, I said, it'll stop here. I said, you will be a part of this family. I don't care where you go. You know, I got one son. You know, I want to play professional ball. I want to do this. Everyone wants to do this. And I said, you guys can do what you want. You are coming home for holidays. That's all there is to this. You're not going to get your panties in a wad about what one said or the other one said. You just deal with it. Let's get it out in the open and deal with it. If we got to go out behind the barn and put the boxing gloves on, so be it. Get it out, get it done, and come back. And yes, that kind of stuff can happen. You can reconcile. We don't know a whole lot about Aiyan. But what I can tell you is it would be a little bit longer until we would really start seeing the effects of the words, I am. In John chapter 18. Go to verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Now, I don't believe he said he, because in my Bible it's kind of italicized. He said, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. What happened? When he said, I am, they were knocked to the ground. That wasn't the only thing that took place. In Mark's short account of this betrayal, the Bible says that after they had arrested Jesus, there was a young man following them wrapped in linen. And when the guards from the palace saw him, or not the palace, but the temple saw him, they tried to grab him. And he wiggled out of his linen and ran away naked. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Why would a kid be, I mean, we're talking early in the morning. Why would any kid be running around, because he was a young man, running around with a linen wrapped around? Well, first off, the word that is used for linen here is describing a burial cloth. It wasn't just a bed sheet. It was a burial cloth. The Garden of Gethsemane was a cemetery. People want to know where praying in cemeteries came in? Jesus found peace and solitude in the cemetery. I ain't saying go pray to your ancestors or weird conjuring up things. You can conjure up stuff that's going to scare the bejeepers out of you, and it will take over. People don't believe there is an occultic power. There is also power in the name of God, and it is so much stronger. Oh, but, you know, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Oh, for crying out loud, it's just your flesh. You want the heebie-jeebies? I mean, she still won't watch Predator with me. Because it gives her the heebie-jeebies. Like, it's an alien that hunts for people. What's the problem? So when Jesus said, I am, the people that were in front of him were knocked down. They were in a cemetery. When he said, I am, in John chapter 11, when Jesus is standing before the people where Lazarus was buried, what did he say? I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus said, I am, at the Garden of Gethsemane, like close by grave, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It was the last time he said. God was in them, recognizing that he is the resurrection, that he is your provider, he is your redeemer, he is everything. Once you listen, folks, I'm trying to get through. I know that a lot of you have some religious training, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, and some of you don't. So I hope you, those of you with religious backgrounds, can get through to understanding who God is. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not some crippled old man walking around with a really long robe and a really long beard and frail. I can promise you this, that when we see God face to face, some of you are going to be like, oh my, that's not what I picture. By the way, he's not exactly white. He's not exactly black. If God created man in his image, why did he have so many different looks? Because God is all those things. This is perfect. We've been sitting around watching as Carter has started to come into his own. And we're starting to pick out little features. It's part mama, part papa. And you probably did the same thing with your own children. Oh, yeah, that's daddy. Now, there's mommy. We have no idea where that came from. Only to find out that it just was a few generations back. But Jesus said, I am. Power of God was released because the very next thing he needed to be was resurrected. There's so much power that this young man came to life. In Revelation, we read where God, Jesus is talking now, and he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am all these things. One interpretation of the phrase I am, that I am, or I am who I am, was I am who I was, I am who I am today, and I am who I will be tomorrow. Jesus said, God is the same, or the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God didn't change. He's the same. Oh, but why do I see something a little different? Because he's still the same, but he's just showing you something different. Mm-hmm. Just like we can change. I will tell you, I have changed. I have changed. Me getting a little emotional is not any normal. My family did not show emotion. Period. Even when I broke my leg, I wasn't allowed to cry. And that hurts. I'm going to tell you right now. I tried so hard not to cry the second time I broke it that I started going into shock. Break the bone. Two of them at the same time. It was seen as a sign of weakness. And that's what it saw is shown as today as a sign of weakness. And it is not. I showed you in the Bible where God the Father, Jesus told a parable, and God the Father cried, he kissed, he hugged, and he forgave. He also came down and said, I'm proud of my son. So all you fathers that run around, well, I ain't going to tell them what I think about them, make your head too big. I want my kids to have the biggest heads in the world. That's what I want. Because the world is out to deflate them every chance it gets. So if I'm not building them up, who on this planet is? And that's just such a stupid mentality. And I say stupid, stupid, stupid a lot. Well, Patrick's not a nice word. No kidding, it's not nice. Because that's not a nice thing. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Life came back. We read in Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus is talking to the church of Philadelphia. He's talking about how their love has never failed and how they've suffered through much. And this was the only church he brought no charge against. And at the end of that, he says, to him who will overcome, he lists several things, but in the very bottom, I got to read this out of my Bible. It's Revelation chapter 3. Verse 12. It says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God. Notice, the name is not listed. It is not G-O-D going to be written on this. It is the name of God Almighty that will never, ever, ever be removed. And the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Jesus is not his name. It's Yeshua. But somewhere along the line, we thought it needed to be changed. Jeremiah's name was not the same. Isaiah's. Their names were all made so we could say them a little easier. I can actually say Yeshua pretty easy. Sometimes the actual word Jesus sometimes gets a little tongue-tied for me. But Jesus is saying, I will write my new name on him. Well, is he going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords? That's not good enough. Bible says that there's a name above all names. It again does not say the name. God made sure that we could not take the name in vain like this. But this is not what I believe it's really talking about in Exodus. I don't think it's as much worried about that, because God's whole point is for us to trust him and love him, right? Here, ladies and gentlemen, is what I think taking the name of God in vain really is. Father, I ask that you provide my family with what they need. I pray that you heal the sick, deliver those who are trapped, in Jesus' name. I just don't believe God's going to do anything about it. That is in vain. You prayed something in the name of God, walking away with doubt. The Bible says that if a man has doubt, he is like a ship on the sea. He's just being tossed back and forth. We talk about faith. You have to be solid. When you ask God for something in the name of Jesus, you have to stand on it. You can't say, Lord, protect my children, and then go out and you walk behind them. Or you say, I'd rather they be in sin. That is wrong. That is doubt. That is faithlessness. God is not about that. God is about you trusting him. When I sent Joshua out, you know, I mean, everybody talked, oh, it's going to be different. Listen, I went. I've been to 5 different countries in this world. I've seen icebergs. I've been to the Arctic Circle. I saw the sunrise twice on the same day. And yes, it is possible when you drive by the other way. But when it came to my children, I had learned I can't do anything to stop whatever may come after them. Well, you know, I can carry a gun, I can do this, you know. Yeah, I've got several guns in my home. Anybody found in my house trespassing after hours? I promise you won't be found there every morning. You may not be found ever again. I hear there's gators in the South, hungry kids. Just so you know, I do talk a lot of big talk. Or do I? But I can do all of that to try to protect them, but ultimately, if I can't trust God to protect my grandson, I can't do a thing. I can't do one thing that God cannot. He can do it all. day I enlisted. She wouldn't talk to my mom for 2 weeks, which was a part of their family tradition. You get a little sideways and you just don't talk to you for sometimes years. But she wouldn't talk to my mom for 2 weeks because she was so mad for letting me enlist. My decision. I was 18, pushing 19, nobody else had a right to say anything. I played the cards everybody else's way. They weren't going anywhere. And God had a call on my life and needed me to get someplace. But my grandmother was operating in fear. Her little brother died in Vietnam a week before he was to come home. And so she ran with that. Not realizing there's nothing she could do. And then when I came and told them about the machine gun barrel flying off while I was shooting it, the gun's capable of shooting 1,100 rounds per minute, and the barrel comes off. They already warned us. The guy that was in the hole with me, he went flying out of the hole when that barrel jumped. When I was nearly hit by a car, I have no idea where it came from. I'm not in the habit of running out in front of cars on the street. But son of a gun, there was a taxi cab, and he just missed me by about 2 inches. Helicopter staying in the air during a Category 5 typhoon. And that's just some of them. Some of the ones I can actually verify that, yeah, I saw the danger. Could my mom and dad worry and stop any of that? Not one bit. All the worrying my mom could do about me drinking and all that stuff just wasn't going to do any good. God knew I had to go down the road. I went down the road, found that it was dead. I know God now like I've never known him before. I now know him as my redeemer. I know him as my provider, my protector. Yes. I know him as my healer. Yes. I know him as all of that. I know him as the good father. Yes. Father, I've messed up. He still loves me. Go figure. I mean, that's not the course in my family. So I didn't have a comprehension of that. In my family, you mess up, well, on you. We don't want anything to do with you. And that's father and son. And it started years and years ago. I'm just amazed that any good can come out of it. My family. But it only, what it took was starting to know God, to know who God is. But to operate the name of God, that's why I have confidence when I pray. I don't have doubt. I'm not in doubt that God's going to heal somebody. Well, Pastor, it hasn't gone down. Well, give it some time. Don't go filling your heart full of doubt. Well, Pastor, we're not pregnant yet. Well, what are you doing? Why are you standing here? That ain't not having babies. See ya. It will happen in God's timing. You can ask Joshua and Tony. And what did I tell them? In God's time. God's time, not ours. I mean, if it had been our time, we'd have had 2 kids, 2 years apart, and out. Not 3 kids, all boys, 5 years apart. That's 15 years. Well, 10, yeah. But still, that's a long time. I mean, there's people that were half our age got more kids than we had. God's will, God's timing was for these 3 boys. Well, why do you think? Well, let's see. Let's see, we have an egg and we have a sperm, and they each carry a different set of DNA every time.
God said, I need this combination with this combination to create that. I need this combination with this combination to create that. All three of my boys are different, and yet they're the same. You were a combination, and God said, I'll take this, and use this, and I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose for that life. So for me to pray in the name of Jesus and doubt what God has told me, if I ask him, God, I need this. Well, you know, I haven't heard from God on it. Well, just cool your jets, big D. You've got to relax a little bit and trust him. It's called trust for a reason, right? That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because you are with me. David saw God as, I am your refuge. I am your protector. I am your shield, your buckler. Pay attention to all that. The word Lord is a generic word. The word God is a generic word. We capitalize it to denote who we're talking about. That's it. I am. Everything you will ever need is what he said. Everything. You need a father? The Bible says he will be the father. He will be the companion. He will be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Even though my brothers and I are not close anymore, I can promise you this. If somebody comes after one of my brothers, you're coming after me. And you're going to get both of us, if not all three of us. And all three of us are vets. So you can figure out your chances of surviving. Not real good.
Well, Pastor, you know, you sound like you're ready to do.
Well, I am. I'm ready to do what needs to be done. There's been so many times I wanted to go do things and God said, not yet. Shut your mouth. Like, God,
alright.
But did you?
Okay.
He heard. He knew. He's heard all the garbage that people have gone around talking about this church, talking about me. He's heard it. Oh my God. I just 30 seconds. They won't die. It's just a chokehold.
Nope. And you know what happens? God gets revenge. God has his own ways. He brings people around. You have to just trust him.
Oh, well, it looks like they're getting away with murder. Oh, no, they're not. They're not getting away in this lifetime or the next.
And by next, I don't mean we're coming back as caterpillars or cows. I mean eternity. Okay, just to specify that, in case anybody think I'm in the Hinduism. No. Because it wouldn't be my luck I'd come back as a cow, but not in a country that worships cows. A country that eats cows. Or as many as I've eaten. But God... name, God's name is not God. It's a generic term. And our Bible, because of Tinsdale, it everywhere it meant good. That's where we get the word God in our English language. This is the word good. Is it wrong to call him God and Jesus Jesus? No. That is the transliteration into our language. Mm-hmm. That is what we know him as now. That is who we know. It does not change the name or the power behind the name. Because I promise you, if it actually mattered, instead of saying, people saying, well, JC, calling out Jesus Christ, they would say Yeshua. Wouldn't they? But they don't. Because that doesn't strike a bone of us. We don't know him as Yeshua. See, some of you know me as pastor. Some of you know me as art. Some of you know me as dad. Some of you know me as your husband. One of you know me.
Only one.
And soon one will know me as grandfather. Now, all those different names, and yet I'm the same. I'm the same person. I might be a little different with you, but there's things that run through that that are exactly the same. When I say I love you, I mean it. And you, like I said, you think I'm kidding. Anybody breaks into my house, it's not going to be a fun time for them. Why? That's my family. And if I said that I laid down my life for strangers, what do you think I'll do for those who are of my name? What do you think God will do for those of you who bear the name of Jesus Christ's blood? What do you think? Oh, well, he's not doing anything. No, it's because you don't trust him. You're taking his name in vain. You're using it in vain. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be healed, be healed. You don't believe it. It's become a mantra. Unless you believe it, just shut your mouth. You will be so much further ahead by not speaking it. I was listening to the third bit yesterday when I was setting up new speakers. That's why we had problems. And I came in and I'm trying to get some things aimed and hooked up and somewhat close to where they need to be. And the song that comes on first is, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. Well, if you can't speak in faith and trust in the name of God that he has given you, when he said, if you, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it. My Father will give it. He didn't say it's going to happen tomorrow. Well, God, I need a new job. Well, you just may have to hold on. I prayed for 3 years for a new job. And sucked it up every day. Until finally a new job came. And I saw the hand of God the whole way through. I don't know how much more I can handle. I promise you, you're tougher than you think. We all are. Hold on, trust God. He's got a reason for everything. For us, the reason we held off, well, we found out after I quit my job, we were pregnant. The insurance I had over there at that job was awful. They didn't pay hardly anything. The insurance at the place I went to, if we had found out before we came, would not have covered anything. So we had to wait. We suspected we were pregnant. The home test said we were, but the home tests aren't official. So once I got covered by insurance, we went to the doctor. Ooh, we're pregnant. Fast forward to May, April, May, we had some problems in there. Just the one bill alone was $70,000. One bill! Didn't include the stay on April 1st. What would have happened had we moved too soon? Well, I wouldn't have taken this job because it didn't come open. I wasn't ready. When the job opened up, I got it. The insurance came in and kicked it. It paid everything. All of it. And in that time, God opened the doors that I could step out and start my own business. God does all this, and you have to trust him. That's why I don't tell you to trust God because I'm standing up here and got money coming in out the wazoo. I'm up here telling you to trust God because I've been down the valley of the shadow of death. I've had to call the mortgage company. I've had to make that call only to turn around and watch God pay back 2 times what I needed. He brought it in. I was struggling to make the payment 1 month.
let alone three payments in 1 month. And God brought it. Why? Because we chose to trust Him. So I'm telling you, trust Him. You've got to walk. And everything you do, if you don't trust Him, you are taking His name in vain. Does that make sense to you? Because I've been trying to figure out, well, all we just don't do is, if you don't say OMG or GD, we're okay. Well, that makes no sense. I don't say it because I'm not making a declaration to my God. That's just all there is to it. And GD was one word even as a sinner I never used. It just struck me as wrong. And all the others I even made up a few. But for me to take the name of God in vain now is using it uselessly. For me to give you something and you to go out and not using it, that's vain. It's vain. You don't trust me. You don't trust what I just gave you. Well, I'm going to trust in my riches, Pastor. I'm just telling you right now, if you trust in riches, you're going to fall flat on your face. They're going to go bye-bye. They go, bye-bye. Well, Pastor, the stock market's up, and you know, this is going well, the economy's up, da-da-da-da. Yeah, don't you dare trust in any of that. Don't you dare. You can make investments and stuff, but the second you start trusting in that instead of God, it's all vanity. Riches, they're vanity. They're all in vain. You can work to get everything in the world, it's all in vain. Why? Well, let's see. Your money. How many of you have credit deposit? Quite a few of you. Do you actually see the cash? How do you know it's actually there? Yeah, well, they say they changed the numbers, right? They changed the numbers on your account. They went up. Hopefully they went up. But what happens if the federal government says, no, we don't have any money? Is your account going to go up? No, but you were banking on it, weren't you? We no longer see gold. Cash is worthless. It's just a piece of paper. Well, Pastor, it's the Antichrist. It's the beast. He's going to rise up. Oh, goodness gracious. You're worrying about the wrong thing. You're going to know when the mark's coming. And by the way, you will have to participate in certain things in order to get around in life. You don't take the mark. If for you. I don't preach one way or the other on that. I'm just prepared for both ways. Because I don't care. You know why? I trust God to take me through whatever I need to go through.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. Everybody that's there, I think a lot of them don't trust God. I honestly didn't think we'd see as much as we're seeing today. I mean, come on. Did you know that in the Colorado Capitol building, there's a picture of Vladimir Putin where President Donald Trump's picture should be? Somebody put it up the other day. I hope to God somebody has had the cojones to go in and take it down and burn it right there on the premises. When did it become okay? I don't care if you don't like the United States, that ain't what it's about. You're a part of it. If you're not a part of it, get out of my country!
Yeah.
We will take an offering, buy you a one-way ticket to Canada or Mexico. You take your pick. They like to be hitting people in Mexico. Especially if they find out you're American. I'd like to go to Cancun, but you know what? Right now, we'll just wait. I like my head where it's at. On my shoulders. Not in the back. Trust God. If you trust God, you're not taking His name in vain. And if you are going around using the other slang terms, knock it off. That's why Jesus told us not to swear by heaven or earth. You have no control of this. Why would you swear by God? Just knock it off. Amen? Let's stand. I said, I know some of you may not, but
that no matter how bad things are looking, you can trust God. Well, this has happened.
Yeah, there's bad things going to happen all the time, isn't there? There's not one person standing here that had something bad happen to them. Not one person. Death touches everybody. Accidents happen to everybody. But I can tell you right now, God's goodness and His mercy, and trusting Him, keeps those accidents and things down to a minimum. My machine gun deal, the guy just didn't knock the barrel down. That's all it was. One little letter. He didn't latch it completely. He just went to where it hit resistance and stopped. And 500 rounds blew up as the barrel was going down range. So, and I just sat there. Explosions were happening right here. I just sat there. Was that supposed to happen? The corporal that was in the hole with me, he's up on the other side of the berm. Is you still alive? Well, yeah. Okay, I don't know. I didn't know any different. I will tell you this, I was taught to trust God. And I only trusted God by going down some pretty hairy roads. Mm-hmm. So that's why I pray from time to time you get a hairy road. Because I'm going to tell you right now, well, when you can trust God, they become fun. Just saying. All right, we can pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we are truly grateful that we can bear your name. We can carry. We get to claim your name. Father, may we not take your name in vain. May we not operate in faith and then turn around and use doubt to squash it. Father, I thank you right now that you're meeting each and every person in here today at the level they're at with their faith, Father. But those who are seeking you, Father, they will find you. Father, those who have questions, Lord God, that you will visit them and you will give them the answers. Father, that you will show yourself to them like they've never known before. They will not know you through their parents, through me, through anybody else. They will know you as a one-on-one relationship, just as a father to a son. And Father, I thank you for these people. I pray, Lord God, that you bless them. I pray that as they go out these doors today, Father, that your love and your mercy continues on them. Father, wherever they are at, your presence is felt, your mercy and your love is flowing. In Jesus' name. Amen.